Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lortz, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Beeb, not a whole lot this weekend on fights, but there was one on DAZN with Tuesday, I believe it was, wasn't it? With Jamel Herring and
Nicholas Molina.
Yeah, that guy. How'd that guy do against Jamel Herring?
Did about as well as Robbie would do if he came up against you on a bad day. It lasted 30 seconds.
So. 30
one straight
seconds.
Left, one straight left, and it was all she wrote.
Basically. I mean, you know, I understand a comeback fight or like a, you know, a confidence builder, but come on. I mean, come on. I mean,
and it was,
you know.
It was an 8-rounder, so.
Yeah, that's right. He wanted it to be 10, but his opponent wanted it to be 8 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
It could have made this a 3-round fight. It didn't matter, you know.
Nicholas Molina, I guess, this is a guy that this is actually his first 8-round fight. He never even fought an 8-round fight. This is a step up for him in more ways than one, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Not only with just the opponent, but with the rounds as well.
Yeah. Callie Kay says, can we discuss UFC, no boxing this week? Did you see Tom Aspinall last night?
I saw a little bit
that
of the
knockout was insane,
yeah,
man.
Very impressive, yeah.
Both of them guys could fight, man. Both of them guys have power, and, man, that is something. Yeah, lots of MMA shows out there. Yeah, I tell you, you know, I didn't watch the card last week, but Colby Covington is fighting December, I think it was 15th, on that UFC card. He's going to fight Leon Edwards. That's going to be good.
Fight.
And I think it's in Las Vegas, too, so it's going to be good, man.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's their big show, I guess. And then UFC 300 coming up in April. I think right around April, May, somewhere in there. So, yeah, it's crazy. December 16th. Thank you, Notorious. All right, so let's get to the schedule because that was it. I mean, as far as fights go, that was it. There's just the Jamel Herring fight. That was pretty much it for it. And then we got an odd schedule this week, too. So November 14th, which is Tuesday, Steve Claggett versus Miguel Madueno, 10 rounds, junior welterweights, and that's on ESPN Plus at 7 from Montreal, Canada. Now, this is crazy. November 16th, a Thursday. What's with all the weekday fights here, Bean?
That's crazy.
Yeah, usually Friday, Saturday, and that's the game, you know.
Yeah.
Thursday, Las Vegas, November 16th on ESPN, starting about 5:40 Eastern time, Shakur Stevenson versus Edwin De Los Santos, 12 rounds for the vacant WBC lightweight title. Emmanuel Navarrete versus Robinson Katsukao, 12 rounds for Navarrete's WBO junior lightweight title. That is a good fight.
Very good fight.
That is a dynamite fight right there.
Katsukao was very light on that one, too.
Katsukao, gold medal winner. Katsukao, yeah. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I would say very, very light. That's a good fight right there. So two really good ones there. And that's going to be November 16th on Thursday. And then on Saturday, let's see here, ESPN Plus on 2 p.m. From Manchester, England, Denzel Bentley versus Nathan Heaney, 12 rounds for Bentley's British middleweight title. What else here? Let's see, 18th on DAZN, Diego Pacheco versus Marcelo Caceres, 10 rounds, super middleweights. And that's what you're paying for on DAZN. And that's it for until the following week when we got Benavidez versus Andrade, which, you know, I thought I wasn't going to buy. But the more I think about that fight, I'm like, yeah, man. I don't think that's a walkover for Benavidez, man. That's a good fight.
No, it's a good fight. It's a good fight.
That is a solid fight right there, man.
I'm buying it. Newsflash.
you never buy anything either. So that's crazy. That when you say you're buying a fight, I'm all in because you never buy anything. It's crazy.
I don't think there's a pay-per-view I haven't bought this year. I even bought one of those Misfits pay-per-views this year. How fucking sick I am, bro.
The sickness runs deep. The sickness runs deep. A lot of comments about the Bengals, man. Bengals second half on Animal Planet. How about the Bengals? Hey, the guy that beat the Bengals today, C.J. Stroud, just so you guys know. You guys know where he's from?
Ohio.
Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud, baby. What are you going to do? You can't win them all. We can only win five this year so far. So, hey, what are you going to do? Let's see here. Sly Tennessee, thank you so much. He says, new Bud had the rematch. Why is he tough talking? What is he tough talking about?
About Boots? He's like, why is Boots tough talking Bud? Because he knew he had the rematch.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
let's talk about that because there's nothing, you know, that's pretty much the schedule. And we've already looked at the upcoming fight. So let's talk about the big news here. The IBF strips Terrence Crawford. And, and everybody's got a lot of big feelings about this, I guess. But after Crawford defeated Spence, the IBF didn't allow for even one optional defense here. On August 25th, the IBF ordered Crawford to begin negotiations with Boots Ennis to be concluded by September 24th. The issue is the Crawford-Spence bout contained a two-way rematch clause. That means that the loser of the bout could exercise his right for an immediate rematch. All right? So Crawford is bound by the contract he signed with Spence. The rematch clause was activated, so now he has to face Spence again. Easy enough. But the IBF says, no, that's not the case. He says, well, you can do that, but we have an interim champion. You have to fight him, and if you don't fight him, we're going to strip you. And at the end of the day, you know, the IBF is here to run a business. You know, they're not here to keep Terrence Crawford happy. So the IBF strips Crawford, and they give the belt to Boots Ennis, which, you know, I wish they would have had him fight for the belt, but he was, and Beavitt already pointed this out earlier in the before the show, he's already interim champion. So if they just elevate him, it's not a big deal because he's already champion. So he's already fought for that belt, to speak, you know. So everything sounds good. Until you say this, when was the last time the IBF welterweight title was actually defended against a mandatory? Steve, it was all the way back in 2018. Carlos Ocampo versus Errol Spence. Steve, what gives with that? I mean, that's 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 5 years ago. Five.
Okay. Back then, I get it. They should have had a mandatory at least, you know, in 2019, 2020. But here's the thing, man. Aren't you guys kind of glad, though, that Spence was never stripped? Because everyone was talking about we want that undisputed fight. You know, everyone kept saying that. I'm not the type of guy that, like, really cares about the belts that much. If I know number one and two are fighting, then to me, I consider that undisputed with or without the belts. I'm in the minority in that opinion. A lot of people love undisputed. They love seeing a guy win the four belts. I don't give a shit because a lot of times when they win the four belts, they never hold on to them. They vacate a couple of them very shortly thereafter, winning all four of them anyways. But I think early on, yeah, they should have had Spence fight the mandatories, but they didn't. But up until recently, I think they said to themselves, well, this undisputed fight is close. You know, we're holding out in the hopes that this undisputed fight happens. So that's why, you know, until recently they didn't strip Spence, and then Spence had the car accident. So there were some factors involved, but if you want to get technical, no, they weren't consistent in how they enforced their own rules. Spence only had one mandatory, and he's had this belt since 2007. He's had this belt for 6 years and only fought one mandatory.
Yeah.
So if you want to criticize that, that's fine. But again, you know, sometimes when someone does a bad thing, it's for a good reason. And because they did not strip Spence, you were able to get an undisputed welterweight champion this year as a result of that, right? So why did they strip Crawford so quickly? Well, initially I said to myself, yeah, this is kind of a slap in the face. It's kind of disrespectful. Let the guy enjoy the designation. Let the guy enjoy the
how
status.
How long did he need to enjoy it, though?
I'm just saying, Beef. He won. How long do you need to be champion?
Well, I'm gonna spin it around, and I'm gonna kind of validate what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
You're gonna end up being on the right side of this argument when I finish this.
Well, so I appreciate that.
So that was my initial thoughts. Like, okay, why not let him hold on to it for a couple months longer, just so he has it. But both him and Spence said they are not going to fight Boots Ennis. Both him and Spence did say we're gonna move up to 154.
That's it.
Right? So either way, did it really matter that they stripped him? Because he had no intentions of defending that title, not only against anybody. So he's going to be campaigning at 154. Spence is going to be campaigning at 154. So at the end of the day, if you really look at the situation, does it really matter that they stripped him? He was never going to defend the title anyway. And also, I'm not so sure that they didn't reach out to him and just
had to.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do next? Is that rematch clause set? It hasn't been officially announced. Since it hasn't been officially announced, are you gonna go through with that? Did Spence accept it? Has he had second thoughts? Do you want to squeeze in a mandatory defense with Boots before you fight him? And he more than likely, and this is just me speculating, they reached out and he said no, I don't want the Boots fight.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they did what they did. So everything points to him not fighting Boots, and that was pretty clear to everyone, right? Everybody knew it.
Everybody knew.
Everybody, the fighter, everybody knew it. So when you really think about it and you take away the emotion and the personal feelings and all that, and you just look at it from a logical standpoint, it's really not a big deal.
It's not. You know, and IBF was definitely within their rights to strip him. Because there was no promise to be made. If he said, yeah, we're going to fight Boots next, who knows what would happen. But he had no intention of fighting Boots.
Yeah, he had no intention.
They're going up to 154.
He's going up to 154. Listen,
am I supposed to put it on hold while you decide the rest of your life? No. Listen, we got a business to run here.
Now, I know, only having for 3.5 months. But once again, in Boots' defense, this guy's been mandatory for what, like almost 2 years now?
Yeah, almost.
Year and a half, 2 years.
And he deserves the belt. Bottom line is he deserves it.
Yeah, you can't keep leaving this guy out in the cold.
No.
So
he deserved it.
Either way,
no question.
It doesn't matter. Crawford's going to go up and fight Spence. They're going to probably make another decent payday. It's going to be at 154. And again, he's going to campaign at 154. On to bigger and better things. Not that Boots Ennis is not a big thing. He's a very talented guy. But, you know, there's going to be bigger fights for him at 154, more accomplishments to try to attain. And so goes on boxing, right?
Boots is the best welterweight on the planet, not named Terrence Crawford. That's it. You know, and then Notorious brought up something here. He said, why didn't they strip Spence when he was off on his accident and with the eye injury? Well, we haven't answered this.
You just answered the question yourself because he was injured.
Well, he was injured. That's right. That's right.
You just answered your own question.
You know, the IBF president or whatever spoke on this, and he said that basically they dropped the ball. He said, if you want to blame anybody, blame me. He said there was nothing nefarious about what was going on. It's just something they just didn't do. And it sounds more like an overlook than anything else. But like you said, the fight, you know, with Crawford was so close, and you want the undisputed. I get that. But now that the undisputed has been granted, it's done. Nobody ever keeps the undisputed. They all go on to bigger things.
And like I said, Eric, not to beat a dead horse, the same people who were asking the question, why didn't they strip Spence? They would have been crying and complaining, oh, the IBF fucked up undisputed. Why are they doing this? And they all would have been mad.
Right.
So listen,
IBF
can't win.
IBF
can't win.
Was right. This wasn't one of the WBC things. The IBF in this instance was correct. I don't like it. You don't like it. But it was the correct decision to make. That's it. Philly Drew, thank you so much, my friend. He said, somebody tell Rick, I think he's talking about Glazer, that needs to know what an email champion is because he calls Boots one, and that makes Tim Zoo one, too. You know, Boots isn't an email champion. I mean, listen, it's not like – listen, they have to – nobody wants to fight him. That's just it. He's the boogeyman of that division. Nobody wants to fight him, and nobody wants to fight him because he's not really a name, not really a big name, not a whole lot of money, a lot of risk, not a whole lot of reward. And also, too, he's pretty good, you know.
That's the other thing. You know what's crazy? I think there was a time that Crawford would have fought him.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But now that Crawford beat Spence, and now he's got this newly acquired fame, right? He's the man now. Like, he just did 700,000 pay-per-view buys. Been on everyone's talk show, everyone's podcast. Been on Joe Rogan a couple of times. Now that he's elevated his status, right, and increased his profile, now everybody wants to fight him.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So now he's saying to everybody, guess what, guys? I don't need you anymore.
That's it.
I can write my own ticket now.
Right.
And I cannot blame the guy. What you know, 1 ounce, one bit,
yeah,
one iota, for his stance that he's doing right now. He can fight who he wants now, and I'm sure he's eventually going to fight someone of the likes of a Tim Zoo, and dare I even say Canelo Alvarez, which I'm not a big fan of that fight, but
no.
We'll see.
No. I am your leader. Said, hey, Heyman fighters don't get stripped. Isn't Terrence Crawford a Heyman fighter?
He will be under contract.
He's a Heyman fighter. He got stripped. There you go. And again, you can't. You know, again, man, you cannot not.
Listen,
Boots is legit. And he says Boots didn't fight. Steven says Boots didn't fight for a championship. Yes, he did. He fought for the interim title. He won. That's it.
We can play this game with a lot of fighters. Canelo Alvarez hadn't fought in the mandatory for about two years himself. For the WBC.
Floyd Mayweather,
right?
Anyone? Floyd Mayweather, Floyd mandatory. You know what I mean?
People like to say that.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I don't care.
When you get to a certain level in the sport,
Let me ask you guys something. Were you guys going to cry if Canelo Alvarez didn't fight his mandatory in Yildirim? Did you need that fight to validate Canelo Alvarez as a true champion? Like, some of these mandatories, like, and I say this respectfully, Carlos Ocampo, did you need for Spence to fight that mandatory, or would you have rather him fight someone like a Sean Porter or a Terrence Crawford instead? You know what I'm saying? So do you really want these mandatories? Because they're not the greatest of fights.
Right.
On rare occasions, yes. Yeah, you got Boots Ennis. And you got David Benavidez. So every now and then, yeah, it does roll around where you do have a good, credible, you know, a mandatory that you want to see fight the champion. But more often than not, the mandatory is a fight that no one really cares about anyway. You think about it. So we'll see.
He's not under contract with Heyman. Stop lying. You made that up. Oh, I am your leader. I know the Bengals lost. You don't have to lie. What does it say here? What does it say here, babe? It's a two-fight deal. This is from ABC News Go, abcnews.com. It's a two-fight deal for Crawford with PBC. What does that say? It's a two-fight Crawford.
He is a Heyman fighter for at least one more fight.
Which is why Beam and I are sitting here and you're on your keyboard. All right? Because we follow the sport. See? We don't just, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Philly Drew is correct. If we're going to be consistent, this is not the first time that an interim champion has been elevated to full champion. Happened with Tim Zoo.
I didn't say he has a contract with Heyman. I said he has a contract with PBC. Right again. Wah. Oh, I am your leader.
I am your leader.
It's two fights, stupid.
Who's the freaking owner of PBC.
Hang tight, though. This is I Am Your Leader. I forgot he's in the contract room for the signings.
That's right.
I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I forgot
Heyman,
who he was.
Heyman LLC owns BBC. it's his company, bro. It's his company.
Yeah. And May 23rd, 2023, it's a two-fight deal for Crawford with PBC. Huh. That's weird. That would mean that he's under contract for PBC because he's already got one fight. He's got a two-fight deal, though. That means he's still got one fight, so that means he signed the PBC deal? That's how it works, right? That's how how those contracts
Al
work.
Heyman,
yeah.
Al Heyman owns PBC.
Oh.
Called Heyman Boxing LLC.
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know, I am your leader. Sometimes what happens with a company is that they have two different names. They have like one assumed name, like Heyman LLC, and then they have a public name, like PBC. That's how business works. It's okay.
Or you have what's called subsidiaries of a company, which
right.
Heyman Box with PBC is a subsidiary of Heyman Boxing LLC. That's simple.
Oh.
Deep Industries has a lot of subsidiary companies.
Ringside Reporter is one of them.
Ringside Reporter.
Yeah, Deep Industries under that banner.
The Round Table.
We have
apparel. We offer legal services for certain people. I mean, we have a lot under our umbrella. You know? We still let Robbie do, you know, chores around the facilities. We keep him on the payroll in a very minuscule way. I mean, it's what we do. We keep people working.
Oh.
Let Robbie fetch the coffees every now and then when we're having a meeting.
Every now and then. Well, you know, I send him out for coffee, too.
You know what I'm saying?
And he earns his keeper out here, let me tell you that.
That's a good job getting the Danish, just making sure they're warm when they come to the office.
D-Style, thank you so much. Here it is. What's the argument? Crawford has one more fight with PBC. There you go.
Well, apparently I Am Your Leader says he doesn't.
Right. I don't know. What are you going to do? Talk to
him. Talk to him. I don't know.
Oh, and now he's agreeing with it. Now I Am Your Leader is
agreeing
with
it. Now that D-Style said it. Are you afraid of D-Style? He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to strong arm you. He's all the way over on the other side of the... I don't want to say where he is. I don't want to dox the kid, but you know where he is.
Dox the kid.
He's far away.
Well, D-Style's an intimidating fella, man. I tell you what, run across him in a dark alley. I'm going the other way.
PBC is not a management company, goofball. They do fights.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, it's a promotion.
They do fights. They're a quasi promotional company.
How does that work? I don't even know how that really works because Heyman can't be a promoter. He is a management company, right? Well, I don't even know about that because
he
hires other managers.
Hires promoters that have the promotional licenses to promote the events.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's a weird dynamic.
It's
man.
Like Saudi. Saudi is what's his name there? Turki Al-Sheikh. Is he a promoter? No. But what did he do? He's financially backing the event and paying the promoters to promote the event.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's simple.
That's it, man. He's a shadow. Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, he's a quasi-shadow promoter. Of course, that's what he is.
Do you remember, okay, so you remember when Don King was in the, you know, back in the 80s and 90s when he was real big? He was the promoter, right? And then Carl King
was the manager.
How they ever got away with that on them?
You know what they used to do? They used to have all these crazy things. Like they used to charge like fighters for using towels and stuff.
Yeah. Towel fee, locker room fee, all that other nonsense.
Yeah. Hey, we took you out for a steak dinner. That cost $1,000.
I know, right?
I think it was only $50. Where did the $1,000 come from?
You had to rent the
room. They were fucking fighters left and right, man.
Yeah. Danny Drew, I didn't know that. He says that Al Heyman started as a stagehand for Michael Jackson. That, you know what, doesn't surprise me. I know he's in the music business, right? I mean, with Beyonce, wouldn't he do Beyonce and everything like that, or Al Heyman?
Yeah. He had an issue with, I think he had an issue with Beyonce back in the day or something like that, where he used to be a concert promoter. He used to be like a concert promoter, he used to be in charge of putting like concerts together and stuff like that.
Well, Don King promoted the Jacksons. Remember the Jackson
Five
or whatever? He promoted that like Victory Tour or whatever back in the 80s.
Yeah,
Michael got big.
He was involved in that.
Yeah. Craziness, man. Craziness. Let's see what else is going on here. Jared Anderson. Jared Big Baby Anderson, Ohio's own. Found himself in a little legal trouble this week, Beeb. Big Baby Anderson was arrested for OVI, operating vehicle while intoxicated. Monday morning, a little after 1 a.m., Oregon, Ohio police pulled over Anderson's 2023 Dodge Charger, going 55 and a 40. Beeb, that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of ticky-tack, 55 and a 40.
You know how it is sometimes.
I mean, you know, these cops around here sometimes. I mean, we're so used to, you know, everything, nothing going wrong and everything. Every time something little happens, cops come.
Last time something happened in that area, man, someone stole a bag of Skittles out of the Walgreens or something.
Right. I mean, it just doesn't happen here, you know. The arresting officer said he could smell marijuana in the car as well as alcohol on Anderson's breath. He also noted an open bottle of Don Julio in the car, which I think is tequila, isn't it?
I'm not a drinker. I don't know, man.
Yeah, all right. What was his favorite tequila? He knows.
Tequila.
Yeah. They also found a firearm in the glove box as well. However, but you know what, though? I don't know why that's such a big deal. I'll be honest. In Ohio, there is no concealed carry permit to get. You can conceal carry if you want to. It's an open carry state.
Yeah.
We don't need a concealed carry license to carry.
Was it loaded? Can it be loaded, though, or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
It can be loaded.
Yeah. They changed that rule about a year ago where you didn't have to have a license anymore. You could just say the heck with it. It's like the Wild West around here. We could just
There's a couple states like that where you can just like walk in and get a firearm and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand, man. It's like, I guess,
crazy.
You know. Yeah, I think it's crazy, but hey, what do I know? So he faces charges of operating a moving vehicle under the influence and improper handling of a firearm. He pleaded not guilty for all three charges, posted a $10,000 bond. He'll be scheduled for December 1st in court. I think that he gets by this. I really do. I don't think this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Just handling of a firearm. I mean, that's a ticky-tack charge, especially in Ohio. It was in the glove box. I mean, he doesn't have to have a license. You don't have to have a concealed carry permit. I'm sure he didn't consent to a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't consent to anything, any kind of toxicology or anything like that. He had marijuana in the car. Marijuana is legal in Ohio. Medical marijuana is legal, and I think December 7th, the other thing will be legal too. They just passed that here, so it's like, what do they call it? Not medical, but when everybody gets the...
Recreational?
Recreational, that's it. Yeah, recreational. They just passed that, so, you know.
You guys are coming up, man. I may come down there one of these days.
You're going to have to. It's like a giant party over here.
I don't want to go down there, man, because there's too much restrictions. But now you guys are, coming into the 21st century, man. I'm excited. Now, that's almost as bad as when, like, I had to pick up Robbie at the police station one time.
Sure.
Because he stole a Snickers bar out of Publix, man. It was embarrassing.
Why does he feel the need to do that?
I don't know.
Like, he does that all the time. I heard he does that all the time. And it's always at, like, a Publix or something like that. Or, you know, I mean, he goes in there, he steals.
But if you take him to the gym, you know what he'll do? He'll try, like, he'll go to, like, the cooler and try to steal, like, a protein shake, man.
Right.
Guy just doesn't like the paper stuff.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I heard that, too, man.
It's a bad quality, man.
Yeah, I agree. Come on, Robert. Do better. Let's see here. One more, and then we'll get to the phones here. We'll bring Robert on. Joshua and Wilder. Doubleheader in Saudi. Riyadh season is in full effect. December 23rd, Anthony Joshua versus Otto Wallin and Deontay Wilder versus Joseph Parker. And they're also, it's like a night of heavyweights, man, because they got like four fights they're trying to put together, and they're all heavyweight fights. B, do you like it? I love this.
I love it, but I hate being pessimistic, man. It's like 5 weeks.
Come on.
I know. I
they had to know about this before they...
Yeah.
They had to, right?
Talk me into it. Listen, they had to know,
but it's not like they're just going to call them up. All right, man, can you be ready in 5 weeks? What do you think Anthony Joshua is going to say to the question of, Can you be ready in 5 weeks? No, he can't be ready in 5 weeks. Deontay Wilder, same thing. Can you be ready in 5 weeks? No.
So this was always the backup plan if Fury versus Usyk. Okay.
I think this was always – I don't even know that this is necessarily a backup plan because, you know, like I said, man.
They probably had no intentions of Fury and Usyk ever going on in December 23rd, which is too quick. It's a turnaround, right?
I don't think anybody anticipated what we saw with Fury and Ngannou. Nobody.
Correct. Yeah.
I never expected to see him lose that fight. But he lost the fight. You know what I mean? And he clearly lost, Beeb. Say it.
Oh, I had him losing the fight.
Yeah, I had him losing the fight, too.
Got to tell the truth, man. I'm holding on to my post as president of the Fury Maniacs by a thread. They've tried to override me. Jesse Reakin called them up saying he wanted to get promoted.
I heard Paris left a nasty voicemail on your mail machine.
Jesse Reakin's on the board of governors. He tried to usurp my position. Not going to happen, Mr. Reakin.
Well, that
forget about it.
Does that surprise you? Come on.
A lot of people are trying to take my position, thinking that just because I was being honest, can't do it, man.
Can't do it.
Gotta tell the truth.
Riyadh season, man. I told you. I've told you this before. I'll say it again. I think it's great that the Saudis got involved in this. I think it's great. Listen, man.
Yeah.
These guys took Ronaldo from Europe and put him in the Saudi Soccer League, right? The Saudi Soccer League for what, $1 billion or whatever they paid him. They offered Messi something crazy, like $700 million, almost close to $1 billion. Messi decided to come to Miami instead and lose to FCC. That's right. We put him out of the playoffs. Title pound, baby. What can I say? So, but I tell you, I really like the fact that they got involved in everything. I like the fact that they're going to make big fights because they got the money to do it.
Sure.
They're going to pour in crazy amounts of jack to make these fights. This is what we need, you know. However, caveat to that is, I think that while this is good, I think it might not be great for the long term.
Yeah.
Because long term, as you come out, you're going to have fighters and fights that don't necessarily deserve to be up here, that they're going to want that kind of pay. They're going to want that Saudi money. Yeah.
Once you set a precedent, it becomes expected.
Yes.
And if people are going to wait around and not fight each other, hoping that the Saudis are going to give them the money that they want, or, that over premium price, as which Saudi openly says, we pay over premium price for these fights. And if fighters are going to just wait around and wait around and wait around and wait around, hoping that Saudi is going to throw them a bone, then this could further delay a lot of these big matchups.
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, let's bring Robert on here. Robert, 530, you're live.
Hey, guys.
First of all, let me just say one thing. I don't appreciate you calling me up on Tuesday. I don't appreciate you calling me up on Tuesday in tears,
no,
crying.
Oh, my God, geez, Eric, here he goes.
Jeez, why did he start the show?
He was crying?
A half hour late.
Oh, my God.
Why did he start the show a half hour late? Help me out. Can you fix the situation? Music I have, Joe Murkowski on speed dial.
So
I'm going to call this guy up, and I'm going to say, Mr. Murkowski, I got this guy in my ear crying. Can you fix this? I don't have that type of pull, first of all.
Give me a break. I called and asked you a simple question, and I wasn't in tears either.
Oh,
give
you were in
break.
Tears. You wanted me
give
to
me
fix
break.
The problem that I had that was way out of my scope.
Because you steal
break.
Candy bars from grocery stores. Robert, is that true? That's not
no,
true, is it?
No, Eric, haven't
I didn't
you learned
think
by
so.
Now?
I was like,
you know, guy like to make a bunch
I,
of crap
one,
up.
We had a morning meeting one time at Beeb headquarters,
like
right?
A bunch of crap.
We had a morning meeting at Beeb headquarters. I sent them out for a dozen donuts.
Can
he
we talk
the box
boxing
back
and
three are missing. Three.
Three.
This guy.
Well, what happened? They don't give you 9 donuts at that. I mean, when you ask for a dozen.
Give me a break.
I've heard of a baker's dozen, but I've never heard of 9 in a box.
No, okay. No. Who it's 9? They always get an even number, Robert.
I've got no shame.
Yeah.
Give me
who
a break,
buys 9? Guys.
Joe, they must have fallen out on the way over.
They must have fallen.
I don't know what happened.
Powdered sugar all over his face, you know.
Fell out right into your stomach, sir. That's what happened.
Yeah, powdered sugar all over his face. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened at all, you know.
Enough with the BS.
You guys are something else. It's great. Let's get on with boxing. First of all, I'm happy for Boots. Boots deserves to have the full title. He just has to be patient, and eventually, if he keeps beating the guys they put in front of him, somebody will be forced to fight him. So I don't blame the IBF for doing this at all. I'm happy for Boots. For those that are complaining about this, be prepared for this to happen once Usyk fights Fury. Because Daryl Peoples, in an interview talking about this week, also said that he's going to enforce the IBF heavyweight mandatory with Filip Hrgović as soon as the Fury-Usyk fight is done, no matter who wins or who loses. And it'll be the same situation. They have a double rematch.
Well, I think that's okay, though. But I think that's okay, because whoever wins that fight, which I have now turned, I think Usyk's going to win. Whoever wins that fight, that's the only fight they wanted. Nobody cares about Hrgović. Nobody cares about the Undisputed.
Yeah.
You just want to see it happen.
Well, first of all, Eric, I've seen enough of Filip Hrgović. I think if he gets in against somebody that knows what they're doing, I think he'll be easy work for whoever that is. I've not been impressed with him at all. So, you know.
He's beautiful.
I am happy for Boots. I hope one of these days he gets a good fight, because he is a good fighter. I understand he's the boogeyman of the division and nobody knows him. That's because nobody wants to fight him, but he is the goods. I can definitely say
that.
And also keep one thing in mind, folks. The PBC is still looking for a place to put their fights. After December 16th, Showtime will no longer be involved. So
they're fresh out of Friends. Yeah, they're fresh out of Friends after that Showtime card. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got nowhere to go. So what is the IBF again? What is the IBF supposed to do? Wait till PBC gets it together?
No.
I mean, really, what are they supposed to do?
No. So, I thought we had a more intelligent audience that follows this show. I'm surprised by some of the comments.
Oh, don't stop. What did I tell you?
Well, hey, listen,
you are insulting.
Hey, that's Robert, not me.
Don't come on here with your bumpus attitude talking down to the audience.
These are our people.
Give me a break.
This is why HR had a problem with
our people.
This is why HR, I don't want to go,
Oh, come on,
go back
Joe.
Into the skeleton here. But this is why you are where you are right now. This is why you're on the outside looking.
Ho! All right, you went a little bit too far. You stepped across that line. You shouldn't have stepped across.
I went too far. I know we're on a gag order with that.
You want to be censured? You keep it up. All right, that's it.
I mean, you don't sit here and insult people that listen to the show. All right, you're a sponsorship killer when you do stuff like that.
No, I'm not.
First of all,
look. This is a boxing podcast.
Don't stop stuttering now. Don't try to walk it back. You don't condescend to this audience. First of all, people that listen or watch this show on YouTube are
boxing fans, but some of them follow the sport better than others. I happen to be up to date on all this stuff. I know what's going on.
I understand.
Who's up to our credentials of following and who's not?
Yeah, right. So,
Why? That was a question.
I have no way of answering that, Eric. First of all.
Who made you the connoisseur here, first of all?
Uh, nobody made me the connoisseur of anything, Joe. You know.
You're still acting like you are. Well, you're talking right now.
But I mean,
the way you're
I
acting is like you, that you wrote the Marquess of Queensberry ruse yourself back
no,
in the day.
Hell no.
Who are you?
Number one, if I would have wrote the rules of boxing, we would have never got rid of 15-round fights. Okay. That's what I grew up
what
with.
What about the guys who were getting killed, man? What about people were dying in the ring?
Well, hey.
What do you say?
That,
we should learn how to box?
That's one of the consequences of being in the sport, man. You know?
What?
That's one of the consequences of being a fighter. You know, every time you step in the ring, your life could be over. And come on.
How cold and callous.
Oh,
you
man,
be?
You a cold fish, son.
How could you say that about people that have passed away fighting in this sport? You show no empathy. And first of all, let's cut to the chase when you said if you were to write the Marquess of Queensberry rules, this sport would probably resemble something more on the lines of mud wrestling.
Hell no.
That wouldn't be bad.
The sickness you have in your mind.
Yeah, give me a break. Joe, you're
the
more
Marquess
sicker
of
than
Robbie
I.
Rules.
Hey, Joe, you're more sicker than I am. You'll buy every pay-per-view on this planet. Give me a break.
Well, now you want to make fun of my condition now, huh?
Give me a break.
Now you want to go there, huh? Now you want to take shots at me there.
Give me a
break. Parents told me some of the things that pop up every now and then when you go to your therapy. I'm not going to reveal that because that's private.
Number one,
that she told me.
These are private conversations offline.
I don't want to stop pulling bones and skeletons out of your closet. You don't want me to do that, do you?
That's right.
I've seen your HR file. I'm glad you guys have entertained yourself. This is fantastic stuff.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running, my friend.
All right,
we'll put you on hold here.
All right.
All right.
Get him out of here, please.
Oh, stop it. What's the matter with you?
Okay, throw up.
It was Robbie's idea for Stallone to write the line, if he dies, he dies in Rocky IV. What's the matter with you? That's part of the boxing game. What's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? Come on. All right. And for those of you who say that I don't ever talk about women's boxing, all right, for those of you who say that, some boxing news. Michaela Mayer will face Natasha Jonas on January 20th in the UK. Beeb, you excited about that?
Pretty decent fight.
I'd rather see him on OnlyFans, but, you know, hey.
Whoa, please.
Hey, they're making more money on her anyway, aren't they? It shows you, like, where, you know, hey, listen, learn.
It depends what they do, man. There's levels to this. Not only in boxing, but there's levels to this when it comes to OnlyFans, too.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, because you're an OnlyFans guy. So, like, do you like, when the channels you subscribe to on OnlyFans, right?
I don't subscribe to OnlyFans. I go to X Videos. It's free. Why am I going to subscribe to OnlyFans, but I can go to X Videos and it's free? And I don't even have to sign up for an account. I can just go on there. No one knows who I am, right? No one can pull up dirt on me like they could if I had an OnlyFans account. I can just go on X Videos incognito.
I didn't mean that you had an OnlyFans account where, like, you're doing an OnlyFans account. I'm talking about you subscribe. So the girls on OnlyFans, you don't? You don't?
No way.
Right.
No way. No.
Come on.
I saved the money for the honey dips.
Come on now.
I saved the money for the Swedish massages.
Omar's right. I support entrepreneurship for women. There you go. That's right.
Do you know, though, honestly, I was reading about the OnlyFans site, and the majority of women on there don't make a lot of money. There's only like a select few that do make good money on there. And most of the women don't, because you know why?
Because there's about 50 billion of them on there.
Yeah, thank you. It's so oversaturated.
Right.
That, like a lot of it. Maybe I am. I don't care. I'm just going to say what I want to say. Is it worth the risk of putting yourself out there and knowing that you may not make any money at all, but you still have all that stuff out there that people can see and they could point to that this stuff's going to follow you around the rest of your life, right? Is it really worth the trade-off?
Yeah, man.
It's
listen, man. They had a there was an article this week that, you know, I don't know what teacher, where she was from, but she said she made more in 6 months on OnlyFans than she did her entire teaching career.
Yeah. And then I've heard some
and
women
I believe
say
it.
That they haven't.
And I believe it.
No, I understand that. But I've heard some women say they haven't made anything on OnlyFans because, once again, it's hit or miss. Like, you can find the right niche.
What do you look like? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, like, if you're paying for this stuff, you know, listen, man, you know what I'm trying to get at, right?
Yeah.
Some girls aren't going to make as much as others. That's the way.
Yeah.
I mean, just like if you go to a strip club, it's not all even. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to give five to somebody and a 20 to somebody else. I don't know. I am Dwayne. This time says, which female boxer would Eric Loda like to see do the cucumber challenge? I got to plead ignorance on this one. I'm a sheltered guy. You guys know that. I'm from the Midwest where stuff like this really doesn't go down. Algiers abuses says, I've worked in porn for years. It's not big money. What is the cucumber challenge? Does anybody know what that is? I have no idea.
When the girl sticks the cucumber down her throat and tries to swallow the whole thing.
Is that what that is? Like an English cucumber or just like a regular cucumber?
I think it's a regular cucumber.
But because the English cucumbers are like fairly, you know, those are like the big cucumbers. I'm just saying,
yeah.
I don't know.
Pretty sick.
Remember Howard Stern had that sausage queen on his show? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They called her the sausage queen. And she had like one of those big kielbasas or whatever. And she just could down the whole thing.
You know what? You know what's disappointing with Howard Stern? Now all of a sudden he's woke.
Yeah,
and he's trying to be like this guy.
He's not good anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, and then people pull up all the shit he did in the past. It's just such hypocrisy, bro.
Yeah, and like we already knew that. Like you already knew what you were getting.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
just
trying
trying to change his image or whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, it works for him. He's bigger now than he's ever been. I mean, mainstream than he's ever been.
Yeah, he's got enough money now where he can.
Yeah.
Live 20 lives. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really care. His show's kind of like it's not what it used to be. Put it that way.
Yeah, he's not funny.
Yeah, I mean he comes up with like some good stuff every now and then, but just kind of I don't know. It's not the same. I like old Howard. I like the old Howard Stern shows.
Yep.
Jake Paul to box professional Andre August on December 15th. Steve, Andre August is 10-1 as a pro. Jake Paul is going to be boxing him. You like the fight?
I like the fact that it's an actual boxer that has 11 fights. He doesn't have a lot of knockouts. So I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see, like, maybe I'm going to have to start looking up this guy, see if I can find some footage on him and see how really good he is. But, I don't hate the fight. I like the fact that he is fighting a boxer with an actual record. So I can't complain about that. People have told him you need to fight a boxer.
Yeah.
And he's fighting a boxer. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. I mean, how good is the boxer? Who knows? I don't know.
And now he's showing us, too, that maybe he is trying to get better. He's not looking for just a name where he can have a big event. Now he seems to be wanting to have legitimate fights. And this constitutes, I would say, a legitimate fight, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And Logan Paul is done with boxing, from what I understand. He said he was done with boxing, and I guess he's going to go to the WWE full-time or whatever he's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Make more money doing that, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And he's pretty good. I saw a few of his things.
I think
he flips around and stuff like that. He's real athletic, so.
I think he's very good. I was extremely impressed watching him do WWE.
Yeah, and he's he can talk. You know, he's good on the mic. He's good on, you know, commercials and stuff. I think he'll fit right in there.
That'd be okay.
Yeah, I really do. I think he'll fit right in. Let's see here. That, my friends, is it. Not a whole lot of boxing going on, but again, next week we'll have the Shakur Stevenson. We'll have that fight for you, and then we'll have a preview for the big one, the Benavides-Andre fight coming in. So there you go. Kind of a down week, but some good news in there, some decent news to talk about and that kind of thing. So,
I think the year is going to close off on a high note. There's some pretty decent fights.
Yeah, I think so.
And if that December 23rd card does come to fruition, then I think that's going to be great. That's great for boxing. I don't have a problem with that.
Say what you want to say, and we've had lulls this year. It feels like lulls this year more so than others.
Yeah.
But this has been the best year for boxing. I can't remember the last – I can't remember the better, year.
It's been a while since we've had a year this good.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Tony Boswell. We appreciate it, man. If we've entertained you today, go ahead and hit the like button. Tell your friends about us, all that other good stuff. It helps the show grow, helps people find us, all that other good stuff. And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days, at jhabib1, and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you guys next week.